This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. We're talking about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And our guest joining us this morning is Susan Rivers from up in, I believe, Frederick County. Is she up and ready to go? Good morning, Susan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Are you in Frederick County?
I live in Frederick, but my office is actually over at the Trout Hatchery in Hagerstown.
Ah, the Albert Powell Trout Hatchery in Hagerstown.
Yes,
I've been there. Actually didn't go this year, but we were there last spring and kind of walked around, looked at all the trout. And, long concrete runways full of nice big giant trout and little tiny trout and medium-sized trout. And,
oh, yeah.
Indeed. What brands of trout do we have at the Albert Powell Hatchery?
At Albert Powell, we have two fish, but it's essentially the same species. We have rainbow trout, the traditional rainbow trout, but then we also have golden trout.
Right.
And the goldens, there is the California golden trout, and there is the Palomino in Pennsylvania.
Right.
This is different. This is simply a color phase of the rainbow.
Right.
It was developed down in, I believe, West Virginia.
Yes, it was. It was actually, wasn't it a mutation at one point?
They assume it was, but what they did, they started noticing that at this one facility they had lighter colored trout.
Okay.
And they actually started segregating them and breeding them together, and all of a sudden, through the years, they started getting this color.
This golden color. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember. I was actually in high school in Pennsylvania when the Palomino trout came out, and it was a big deal. It was on the cover of the fishing magazine that the state put out in Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania Angler.
Pennsylvania Angler,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was actually a fly that was developed, the Palomino trout fly, somebody tied. And I took the picture of this magazine cover into, of all people, the janitor at school was a fly tier.
Okay.
And a great fly fisherman, and I said, "Can you make me one of these?" And he did. He actually did. I have no idea where it is, yes, indeed. Now, your title is biologist. Your specialty, as I understand it, is entomology. Kinda.
That's a big thing that I have done in the past.
Okay.
As my career has gone on,
yep.
I've had other things added, and I'm actually, because I'm not going to be there forever, I've actually been training a new employee to work with the entomology, but that was my original.
Well, I'm told that nobody knows more about bugs than you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I get that a lot.
You don't have anybody come into the office and say, "Susan, what the heck is this?"
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
And usually you look at it and you go, "Oh, that's Bob. That's Fred." That,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Sure. Sure, indeed. Well, we know that the bugs are a big part of a trout's diet, except at the hatchery, unless they can catch one off the top of the water.
Yeah. Well, And I work with that, but I also work with fish health.
Right.
And so being at the hatchery, I get to see the fish a lot and make sure that everything is fine.
Sure.
And we have a pretty good testing program now. Before
yep.
the fish go out, we make sure that they are clean, they are healthy.
Yep.
And I know that occasionally people may see a sore on a fish, something
yep.
like that. We actually have bird predators at the hatchery.
Right.
And they will hit the trout. And a lot of times that's one of the things that anglers tend to see.
Sure.
It's actually where it's been hit by a bird,
mm-hmm.
and the fish did get away, but there are natural bacteria in the water that just can attack that abrasion. It's
right.
just like you going out and scratching yourself and the cut gets red.
Right, exactly. And I've seen that at the hatchery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people say, oh, look, they've got ick or fin rot or something like that. And it's not
yeah.
not that at all.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm assuming that, you know, with the feed, the amount of feed that goes in the hatcheries, it's fascinating to watch, by the way. Do you automatically feed them there? Do you use the auto feeders, or does somebody feed the fish by hand?
We do both.
Okay.
When the fish are smaller, they require more feeding, more feed more frequently.
Right.
And when they're real small and they first go outside, it got to the point where the guys would load the food, go feed, and they'd go back up, and then they'd have to be right back down doing it again.
Right.
So for the smaller fish, they do put on the feeders.
The auto feeders, right.
And the very large fish that we have that are not under cover.
Right.
We've put a feeder on those as well because they tend to be a big target for some of the birds.
Right.
So they've put a screen over the top on those fish.
I noticed that, yep.
That feeder gets it in there. Plus, those pellets are larger.
Sure.
And
tell us about the pellets, if you can reveal the secret formula.
It's a combination. There's fish meal in it. There are
yep.
other types of meal. There's oil. There are some vitamins that are added.
Right.
And there is a stable vitamin C that is added because sometimes that tends to be something that is lacking in the diet.
Hmm. Okay.
But it's a stabilized formula. The feed. Once it's opened, it does need to be used quickly. You have to keep it dry. It cannot get wet,
right?
Because it can mold.
Yep.
like everything else.
That's
yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Like every other kind of feed. Sure.
And the feed is balanced according to the size of the fish.
Okay.
When the fish are very, very small, they obviously need a lot more nutrition.
Okay.
So those tend to be higher protein. Higher fat content. As the fish get larger, the nutritional needs change, and so does the food accordingly.
Right.
Also, the size changes because obviously they can eat larger and larger pellets.
Sure. Okay. Cool. And that is, you know, that's something that people wonder about. Boy, I wish I could get some of those fish pellets. I'd catch all the trout in the stream, but that's not necessarily so.
Yeah. The thing is, when they are stocked out, and I've heard people say, "Oh, they feed them before they stock them, and that way they don't catch. I can't catch them right away."
Right.
Well, we can't feed them close to being loaded on the truck.
Right.
If they are fed, when they are fed, their oxygen need goes up.
Right.
And we already have to supplement water on the truck with
right.
oxygen.
Right.
And when that happens. We can't put enough oxygen on the truck to keep them healthy to get them to the stream.
Right.
Plus, you don't want them getting sick in the tank
right.
or, you know, having regular bodily functions in the tank and degrading the water quality.
Right.
So we don't feed that close to stocking.
Right. But, well, you know, people say they can't catch them right away. The reason they can't catch them right away is the fish has to get acclimated to the new
exactly.
new everything. I mean, the
mm-hmm.
new pH, the new environment, the current, the, you know, the lack of you know, pelletized food. They have to learn very quickly how to eat whatever comes their way. And, you know, so they're, I would think they might be a little bit disoriented when you first drop them in the stocking spot.
Yeah, and it depends on the water temperature, too.
Yep.
Our temperature at the hatchery, and it does not vary much on the truck, our temperature is 54.
Okay.
And the tanks are insulated, so the temperature doesn't change that much.
Sure.
And because of, we don't have, like you do with your little aquarium, where you take the bag and you put it in and you
right.
let the temperature come up. So they do experience some, you know, initial shock when they hit the temperature of the water they're going into.
Right, Right.
So they're not going to bite right away.
Sure.
And to tell the truth, we like them to spread out a little bit before anglers do catch them.
Well, sure, of course. Absolutely.
Some of the guys are really good, and some of the guys stand right there, and they almost cast right next to your net.
Yeah, exactly.
We've experienced all of that.
Sure. Yeah, well, that's the nature. I mean, give me mine. That's the deal.
Right.
So we're at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you have any questions on trout fishing, the spring stocking numbers, the condition and size of fish this spring, or anything you'd like to ask Susan Rivers about our trout fishery here in Maryland, you've got the person on the line that can answer those questions. So let's go right through the list here, Susan, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We have a couple hatcheries that are that have been closed in Western Maryland, and Albert Powell has been taking been carrying the brunt of the workload for trout. And my question is, we're stocking about the same numbers we've always stocked. Is that correct?
It's pretty close. Yeah.
Yep.
This year we're doing about 334,500.
And seven.
Yeah. But 304,000, roughly, are rainbow trout.
Okay.
And those are primarily from Powell.
Right.
We have 27,600 from that are browns.
Right.
And some of those, we have a couple of satellite facilities, really small places where we can raise these.
Right.
As
mm-hmm.
well. One of the places that had been closed in Garrett County was Bear Creek.
Right.
Bear Creek is coming back online.
Yep.
They are raising brown trout out there.
Okay.
And they're doing quite well. We've had to modify operations there. Some of the facilities we simply can't use anymore there, but there were some that were newer that were easier to disinfect.
Yeah, and this is from whirling disease.
Yes.
Tell our listeners what whirling disease is,
okay,
and what the danger is.
Whirling disease is caused by a parasite, and I won't even give you the scientific name, but it's caused by a parasite. And what happens is it has a very complex life cycle, but when it is in a mobile phase, it will swim, and it is attracted to trout species, most specifically rainbow trout. It is especially damaging to very young rainbow trout.
How does it enter?
It can go in either, it can go in through the gills. That was the traditional thing they used to think. It could go in through the gills and then get into the system. They now find that it can actually burrow through the skin.
Really?
But what it does is it gets in the body, and it travels to bony areas or cartilage. It is actually a cartilage parasite. And obviously, small fish are going to have a lot of cartilage and a lot less bone. So as the fish grows and gets more bone in its body, it's less susceptible. But the small fish that are infected, when this actually eats the cartilage. And so it damages. A couple of the places that are really susceptible is the brain case, so the skull, and the spinal column. And it actually can damage the brain case so that the head collapses on the brain, and also the spine doesn't develop properly. And so when the fish tries to swim, it can't get the right message to the body that this is what you need to do.
So it just spins in a circle.
It chases its tail. The back end of the fish can sometimes turn black, but there are other diseases and problems that can cause that as well.
Right.
But can't swim, can't feed well. The fish that survive are carriers. This parasite eventually goes into a spore form.
Right.
And when it's in the bone, but when the fish dies and decomposes, it's released, and it goes through a worm intermediate host.
Wow.
To start the cycle again. And we don't know how it got into, it actually started in the north branch of the Potomac.
Right.
And we don't know how it got there. It could have been past hatcheries stocking when they didn't check, and they didn't have the technology to check for the
right
parasite.
But it is not transmissible to humans, even if you catch a fish that's got...
No, not humans, not your dog, nothing
right
like that. It's
right.
It's specific to trout species.
Yep. We got a question from Gary in Severn. We're going to go right to that, and then we'll take a short break when we come back from that call, and we'll continue with Susan Rivers. Susan, we're going to connect you with Gary in Severn. Okay. Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Fine. How you doing, Alan?
Good, buddy. What's up?
Great. Just wanted to say hello. Good morning. Thanks, Susan, for joining the show and sharing some knowledge with us.
Sure.
I was wondering, so I've been trout fishing in Maryland about 25 years, and noticed a couple differences as the streams and things change and things like that. It seems like in the last I've done a lot of fishing in the North Branch and also in the Castleman, and it seems like in the last 3, 4, 5 years, they don't have the big fish out there that they used to. Is that true, or is that just I'm not catching them?
You're just not that good, Gary.
Your bait's
not big enough. If you can catch a 7-inch brook trout and hook that right behind the dorsal fin, you may catch one of those big trout.
Well, part of it is that the fact that we did lose facilities in Western Maryland due to whirling disease.
Yeah.
We do get larger fish. We actually raise fish at Powell up to maybe 5, 6 years old. And Bear Creek is starting to do that again as well.
How big of a fish is a 5 or 6 year old rainbow trout?
Oh.
10 pound?
Not quite that high. I'd say maybe 5, 6.
Okay.
But 20, the largest one I've seen was probably 22, 23 inches.
Okay.
Do you raise them that big just because you are interested in supplying some big fish into the stream for the anglers? Or are you raising them for breeding stock, and then when they're past their prime for breeding, you just release them?
They're raised for anglers. Do not have enough space in the hatchery to hold brood fish. Each female will produce about, maximum of maybe 4,500 eggs, and we hatch 500,000 eggs a year. So we don't have enough space for that many brood females. So we purchase our eggs from a commercial supplier, and they ship them to us in midwinter. But the large fish are purely for anglers, and we do get some brood fish actually from West Virginia. They have some hatcheries where they do have brood, and
yeah,
they will stock those in the North Branch.
Are those the ones that that look like a football? They look like a shad cross section.
No, actually. There is a research facility in West Virginia that does research on aquaculture, and they have been researching dealing with trout species. When they are finished with their studies on growth, they donate those fish to the state of Maryland and to the state of West Virginia, and we have actually received quite a few really nice fish from them the past couple of years.
I caught a rainbow trout in the Castleman. It was about 3 pounds, and it looked like a shad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're big football deals. They are a little strange looking, but they're fun to catch.
Yeah, well, that's the ones from the research facility. Yeah,
there you go. So, all right. Any other questions there, Gary?
So do you anticipate getting back to having more bigger fish going out there, or is the program that we have now pretty much where we're at?
There will be some increases. They have done some modifications at Albert Powell. It's stuff that you cannot see. It's actually inside where we handle the smaller fish. But hopefully, this just came online this past fall. It's a new method of, instead of having long little raceways inside, we now have large circular tanks.
I've seen that. I've seen that in
and that sort of thing. And that will allow us to hold fish inside longer, so the number of fish that we can keep outside and grow them to a larger size will increase as well.
There you go.
Great.
Gary, thanks for your call. We are up against the hard break here.
Okay,
we got
great.
To do that. So thank you for your call. And, Susan, just stay on the line there. And Pat's got Gary. We have Charles in Baltimore coming up next. But, Susan, one real quick question here. When you receive those eggs from the vendor, the outside vendor,
mm-hmm.
are those eggs fertile at that time, or do you fertilize them at Albert Powell?
They are fertilized.
Ready to go.
They fertilize them. They hold them for about 20 days because at the early stages, they're very sensitive.
Okay.
They become what they call water hardened.
Okay.
The eye has formed in the egg.
Mm-hmm.
They can ship them in a container that just keeps the eggs moist without having to have them in water.
Awesome. Hang on there. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
Okay.
Okay. Time for me to tell you folks about Clyde Sport Shop. If you want to go trout fishing or perch fishing or crappie fishing, well, even striped bass, you might want to stop by Clyde Sport Shop and see what their 2013 fishing selection is all about. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Their phone number is 410-242-6108. They've got all the new fishing line, the rods, the reels, the terminal tackle, all the lures, anything you could need or want or imagine for fishing. It's available at Clyde Sport Shop and a wide selection of live bait. Don't forget, turkey hunters, they have your favorite shotgun, too. It doesn't matter what brand, but I like to talk about the Browning BPS pump shotgun, available in Mossy Oak camo, certainly available at Clyde Sport Shop and all the turkey ammo and so forth. So give them a call, 242-6108. Call the fishing hotline at 247-3474. That's 247-FISH. Or make sure you stop by. Visit their website, ClydeSports.com. Clyde Sports Shop. Proud to have them as a sponsor of the Outdoors and Radio Show. It's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge, too. Yes, indeed. And Susan's familiar with this. Fishing challenge is ongoing right now, and when trout season gets here, there's always a bunch of big rainbow trout entered in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center out there in Western Maryland, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and even Under Armour. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland-sized, Tahitian-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details on the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. You can join Jake Kahn of Annapolis for a 24-inch chain pickerel caught in the Magothy, James Cobb of Columbia for a 21-inch black sea bass caught off Ocean City, Foster Epps Jr. of Capitol Heights for a 24.5-inch tautog caught off Ocean City, and Langston Majette of Upper Marlboro, Maryland for a 24.5-inch black sea bass caught off Ocean City. That's right. These guys are all entered in the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and you can, too. Check it out at www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Marketers of ice cream, beer, soup, and even shampoo are discovering what stylish women know. Black is the color to wear. Anheuser-Busch InBev recently introduced its first black beer bottle, complete with black label, for Beck's Sapphire. Nestle's Häagen-Dazs just brought out a gelato line in black containers. Even the once cheery laundry detergent aisle, a veritable kaleidoscope of blues, greens, and oranges, is going darker, and so is soup. Marketers say the use of black has exploded because companies believe the color helps their products break through the clutter. Big supermarket brands invest countless hours and dollars studying which colors and graphics will grab the eye of hurried shoppers maneuvering through crowded store aisles. Some marketers say black's popularity is a reaction to the continued lackluster economy. While many consumers gravitate to lower-priced items, black conveys premium. I'm Marcy Norton with the Wall Street Journal.
I know my business, but I don't know much about creating a website.
Who has the time to create their own website?
I always thought a website would cost a lot of money. Then I discovered Wix.com.
Wix.com was the perfect solution.
It's so easy. You choose a beautiful design, write what you want to say, and move your images where you want them. No coding, no confusion.
And the best part is that Wix.com is absolutely free.
No matter what size your business, people don't take you seriously unless you have a professional-looking website. Create your own stunning website for free at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.
Shaquille O'Neal for new Icy Hot Advanced Cream.
I know all about living with pain. After 19 years of pro ball, man. But now I'm feeling awesome. New Icy Hot Advanced Relief is the real deal.
Icy Hot Advanced Cream has two maximum strength ingredients to last up to 50% longer. Works great on shoulders, backs, knees, even arthritis. Icy to dull the pain and hot to relax it away.
Come on now. Advance past pain and get on with living.
New Icy Hot Advanced. Available in cream and patch.
Pain over.
Use only as directed.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But now take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, sitting in the shade.
All right, we're back with Susan Rivers, biologist from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fishery Service, with her office headquartered at the Albert Powell Trout Hatchery up near Hagerstown, Maryland. And we have a caller on the line, Charles in Baltimore. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, and I hope you're well.
I am. How about yourself?
I'm fine. And tell Susan that she took me back 80 years.
80 years?
80 years that I fished rainbow trout in Crystal Lake right near Harrison, Maine, and every morning we would go out and catch us a rainbow, And we had a frying pan with butter, and we cooked it there. And to this day, I have never forgotten the taste. It was so delicious. And every morning, we would go out and get a fish.
There you go.
It was so enjoyable. And to this day, I have not forgotten the taste or the enjoyment of eating on Crystal Lake.
I like rainbow trout.
I wanted to tell your international travelers something that they could do. I had several trips to Galapagos, and there you can swim with the seals, and in those days you could ride one of the big tortoises, the turtles, and you can't ride them anymore. And that was such a thrill in my life, and I hope that your listeners can enjoy a trip out to Galapagos.
Susan?
Yeah.
This is Charles from Baltimore. Charles is a world traveler.
Yeah.
A researcher, a well-respected and well-known writer.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles is the most interesting man in the world, not the guy on the commercial.
That's interesting.
Thanks for your call, Charles.
And thank you, and thank Susan for her story.
You thank her. She's on the line with you.
Yes, I know.
All right,
Charles. You're welcome, Charles.
Hello.
All right, guys. Thank you very much, Charles. We'll hear from you hopefully next week.
I hope so.
All righty. Thank you, sir. There he goes. Susan?
Yeah.
I was looking at the Wikipedia about the whirling disease. Fascinating little critter, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
the guys and gals go out and stalk all those thousands of trout streams in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And they have one opening day.
Mm-hmm.
And we pretty much have one opening day here, but why the closure schedule? Can you tell us a little bit about the reasoning behind that?
Yeah. The one thing was we had a lot of problems with people telling us that they worked and they couldn't get out to get the fish. And because of the way, if it was open all the time, they couldn't hit the right time.
They couldn't compete. Yeah,
so
it was all, if the day I have off, it's always raining.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Something like that. So
right.
Years ago, they came up with the closure schedule, and at one time, the state was divided in half. We actually had two closures per year, and we noticed that system actually crowded anglers a lot more.
Okay.
So the one closure, actually, it's essentially a three-week closure for a lot of streams.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of impoundments that we've added to a one-week closure.
Right.
And the primary reason for that was to make sure that pressure was spread a little more evenly so that people had a better chance of catching fish in the spring.
Sure.
So the put-and-take areas are the ones that are on the closure. And then just to help us with stocking, to make sure that we can get the fish safely to the stream, we have two additional one-week closures. And the closure schedule is on the stocking schedule and in the book.
Right.
But essentially, it's to help us get the fish in and make sure that they're there and they're in good shape for the anglers.
Well, people that like to fish for trout, I mean, the trout fishery is a year-round thing, even though the summertime, I mean, it's not impossible to catch a trout, but it's a lot more difficult than it is in the cooler spring and in the fall. And certain species actually spawn in the spring and others spawn in the fall. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, some are more readily available in the fall than they are in the spring. But as you mentioned, the put-and-take guys, these are the guys that go out and fish those streams, you know, maybe end of March through April, and then they're pretty much done with it because something else comes along.
And the thing is, there are some areas that are zero closure.
Right.
So they and we do a preseason stocking. This year, some areas were stocked as early as the first week in February.
Sure.
The majority of them were done by the week of February 17th.
Can you tell, and maybe you don't know, but maybe you do, can you tell by the number of trout stamps approximately how many trout anglers we have here in Maryland?
That's essentially the way we measure.
Now, do you have a number? I mean, do you know the number?
Not right off the top.
Not trying to put you on the spot.
It has run in the past around 60,000, but so, I'm not sure that that's an accurate number.
Right.
Now.
So the juice is worth the squeeze.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So you got 60,000 people out there that are focused on trout, and that's part of their routine. I mean, you've got perch anglers. You know, you got white perch, yellow perch guys in the spring. You got people that focus on pickerel. You got people that, you know, can't wait for striped bass season, and then you got the guys that fish in the fall for the other species. You got people. I mean, Maryland's just a wonderful place to fish, and I just wondered about the number of trout fishermen, if it was worth the investment of 300,000 fish to take care of you know, the number of anglers out there. And apparently with 60,000 folks out there buying trout stamps, it is.
Well, and the thing to remember is trout stamp doesn't cover everybody. We don't get a count of, for example, the number of senior anglers.
Or junior anglers. Yeah, unlicensed anglers, sure.
Yeah. So, you know, we have done surveys periodically to try and get a handle on how many people are out there who are fishing for trout.
But, well, okay, that brings up something else then. We have call-in and online surveys that are done.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share that a little bit?
There is a survey that's starting now, but that one is more for bass species.
Okay.
But they do occur periodically. The last one we did for where we got information for trout.
Right.
It was 2003.
Okay.
And put it up online.
Is it time for another one?
It's going to be coming up soon. Yeah. We're in need of that data,
right,
to be able to better know who we are serving and who we are not serving.
Okay.
But we right now we do have some online surveys that are on key fisheries.
Right. Okay.
Potomac River and the tidal bass species.
Right.
Are certainly things that we're looking at right now. But
mm-hmm.
In the future, not this year, maybe in 2 years or so, there will probably be another general survey.
Okay.
And we encourage people. I did the last one, and people sent them back, and, you know, they didn't want to answer them, or a lot of people, in fact, had moved.
Really?
I was amazed at how mobile people are. But if you get one of those surveys, please send it back, because that's the information that we use for management purposes.
Gotcha. Very good. All right, so if somebody wants to find out about the stocking schedule and that type of thing, maybe you can help them out with that.
Okay. Well, the stocking schedule, they do have them at the licensed dealers, although sometimes they run out.
Yep.
It is available online.
Right.
On our website, dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. If you look on the left side of the screen, it says trout fishing, and if you go there, you can find that'll take you to a link that gets you the schedule.
Yep.
The general regulations on what the closure schedule is found in the Sport Fishing Guide.
Right.
You get that with your license,
yep.
But that is also available online as well.
Sure. Okay.
And, you know, if there are any questions, you can certainly call the we do have a call-in.
Mm-hmm.
It is updated every Thursday for
okay.
What's been stocked that previous week.
All right.
And that's 1-800-688-FINS, F-I-N-S, or 3467.
Okay, give that one more time, Susan.
1-800-688-FINS.
All right.
3467.
3467, FINS. Very good.
Now, the one thing to remember is if there is a closure on...
Yes.
The list that is on our website that shows things that have been stocked.
Right.
It will not show the things that are under closure.
Okay.
Because we don't want people going and possibly having a run-in with a natural resources police officer on an area that's closed. So we simply don't put that information out there.
Gotcha.
But the areas that are open,
yep,
that they can fish right now, those are there. And please check that out because that is there for you to use.
Very good. Hang on the line there, Susan. We're going to change gears here just for a second and talk to our buddy Gene and Glen Burning. Morning, Gene. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Oh, you guys got me wanting to go trout fishing. We got a hunter safety class today. Frank's just walking out the door.
Yeah.
I would like to remind everybody about the Turkey Hunter Safety Clinic next Saturday at Meyer Station. And they can pre-register for that if they go to spelled out Central Maryland Chapter, NWTF.com.
Okay. And that's a turkey hunting clinic that covers turkey hunting safety. And I'm guessing if anybody wants to know specific techniques and that type of thing, they can find out there too.
Oh, absolutely. We cover all the bases on scouting and setups and calling, and we even go on the range and help pattern our guns.
Pattern our shotguns. Isn't that cool? Very good.
And NRA is the driving force behind this course, and they're keeping the records for the whole world. And you will receive a Turkey Hunter Safety Card, which is just like your hunter safety card. It's good for the rest of your life.
And where and when, Gene?
It's next Saturday at Meyer Station. You can register online. And if you get down there before 8:30, we'll get everybody registered and get the class on the way. It should run until about 2 o'clock.
About 2 o'clock. Okay, that's next Saturday at Meyer Station. That's in Odenton. Do you have a phone number for contact, Gene?
You can use my phone number.
All right.
3.
What is it again?
443.
Yep.
962-7398.
All right, Gene, we'll put that out there. If anybody missed any of that, they can email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and I'll share the information with them. Sound fair?
Sounds great.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Al.
All right, Gene. See ya. There goes Gene. All right. Susan?
Yeah.
We got to take another break.
Okay.
So, this is commercial radio, of course, and we got to keep going here with our sponsors to make them happy and so that we can keep doing what we're doing here. Hey, we welcome a new sponsor today. For those of you on the Upper Eastern Shore and have been to Strut and Rut, maybe you didn't know they moved, but there's a new location, and they're going to welcome you there on April 6th. Now, turkeys strut this time of year, and whitetails rut in the fall. So to get you in the mood, Strut and Rut Archery has expanded and opened a new location in Elkton, Maryland. And it's a beautiful building, too. Strut and Rut Archery is open right now, of course. But on Saturday, April 16th, it's the grand opening of the new Strut and Rut Archery. And Jeff and Mary Adkins are down-to-earth people who are willing to share their knowledge and open their store to you. Now, if bow hunting is your passion, you need to get to know Strut and Rut. With a wide selection of compound bows and crossbows from Matthews and Mission, Elite and Diamond, and all the accessories, you'll find the products and services you need for success. The Techno Hunt video target range allows you to shoot your equipment for off-season practice and even leagues. Their expert pro staff, technicians, can tune your bow or set up a new one for you, your spouse or your kids. Now, Strut and Rut also offers fishing tackle and crabbing gear, too. So on April 6th, stop by for the grand opening and the open house in their new 4,000-square-foot facility right off Route 40 on Maloney Road in Elkton. That's across from Staples. Product representatives and pro staff will answer questions and conduct product demonstrations. Free refreshments, too. Visit the website, Strut and Rut Archery. That's Strut, S-T-R-U-T-N, R-U-T, archery.com for online purchasing. Your new gear can be shipped directly to you. For business hours, you can visit strutandrutarchery.com or call 410-885-5058. That's 410-885-5058. Do you hunt, fish, or go crabbing? Get to know Strut and Rut.
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland.
the governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland Citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
Hey, time for me to tell you about our buddy Sean Mann. SeanMann.com. That's S-E-A-N-M-A-N-N. Sean is a longtime world goose calling champion and champion of champions. Back in 1985, he designed the Eastern Shoreman Goose Call. You'll find that goose call in just about every goose hunter's bag in Maryland, and it's one of the easiest to learn how to operate. So check that out online or at your local retailer. It's the Eastern Shoreman Goose Call from Sean Mann. Now, Sean also does a great waterfowl hunt in Canada in the Prairie Provinces up there. Comes up in the fall, and it's a fantastic waterfowl shooting for ducks and geese. You might want to book that trip with Sean. You can call the office at 800-345-4539. That's 800-345-4539 to learn more information. Or hit that website, www.seanmann.com. Don't forget, seanmann.com or 1-800-345-4539. Check out that Eastern Shoreman. It's one of the easiest goose calls to learn how to use, and now's the perfect time to learn how to use it for next fall. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. That's an address I want you to write down. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's the address for Clyde's Sports Shop. They've been there for a long, long time, since 1957, serving Maryland's fishermen and hunters. And they've got everything you could need, one imagine. They've got firearms for self-defense. They've got firearms for hunting, rifles, shotguns, handguns, all the ammunition that you need. You can check them out, too, for all the fishing tackle. Everything's available on the website at clydessports.com. You heard one of our earlier callers talk about getting his line spooled with new line, or his reel spooled with new fresh line for the fishing season. They're ready for stripers, they're ready for perch, they're ready for trout, they're ready to go. So if you love to fish or hunt, you owe it to yourself to stop by Clyde's in Lansdowne. The phone number, 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108. And don't forget to call that fishing hotline at 410-247-3474. That's 247-FISH for Clyde's Sports Shop.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard, in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we don't want to forget your smart green and growing tip of the day. Go green with your spring cleaning by using alternatives. Yeah, you don't want any harsh chemicals to clean your house, so you want to use white vinegar mixed with water or Castile soap. That's C-A-S-T-I-L-E, soap for sanitizing your home. Yep, that's what I want to use, soap made out of olive oil. Let's talk to Susan in Frederick. Susan Rivers is with us from the Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. Susan is a biologist headquartered at the Albert Powell Hatchery. And Susan, we are running quickly out of time. How many trout can I catch and how big do they have to be or how small do they have to be?
In the put-and-take areas, the limit is 5 trout per day.
Yep.
And there is no size limit.
No size limit.
No.
Of course.
There are size limits on the trophy trout areas out on the Savage River.
Right.
But those are not of interest to most of the put-and-take anglers.
Right, of course. Yep.
That's the only place where we really have a size limit.
And what is the size limit on those areas out there?
Okay. There are two areas on the Savage.
Okay.
One is the fly area.
Right.
Okay. Actually, in both of the areas.
These are catch and release?
You can keep on those areas 2 trout per day. This is below Savage Reservoir.
Okay.
Okay. There are two suspension bridges for whitewater races.
Okay.
The lower bridge is called the Allegheny Bridge.
Okay.
From the dam down to Allegheny Bridge is flies only.
Right.
And you can keep 2 trout per day. Brook trout are 12 inches. Brown trout are 18, minimum size. And everything else you can keep.
Okay.
Okay. And it's the same below Allegheny Bridge, except that you can use artificial lures down there.
Okay. Very good. Susan, thank you very much. Can you believe we're out of time already?
No. It went fast.
We are. When you hear the banjo music, it's time to head for the exit. So,
okay.
But we thank you for joining us today. Hopefully you can come back again and talk more about it. But we want to wish all the trout fishermen out there good luck. Opening day is?
It's March 30th.
March 30th, the day before Easter. So maybe instead of ham this year, we could have rainbow trout.
Exactly.
There you go. Thank you, Susan,
You're welcome. Much
for joining us. And you live in a beautiful part of the state of Maryland out there, and you work in a great facility. So thank you for joining us, and we'll be seeing all of you.